In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
It's time we stop locking up people for possession of marijuana.
Now you see what that meant. That meant a huge expansion in contraceptive services, and they took George Bush's armies of compassion and turned them into armies of contraception.
But now with the ministry in bankruptcy and the church building sold to the Catholic Church, the Reverend Robert Schuller and his wife announced over the weekend their family is leaving the ministry he founded four decades ago.
Jesus is like, well, that's not how God thinks, because the one, the individual one, is so important. He would have done everything that he did if it had only been you.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices down the line.
I've heard it said, and this comes from Lutheran quarters generally, that the Word of God doesn't need a defense, it's its own defense. I've heard variations on that, that the gospel does not need a defense, it just needs a fair hearing, those kinds of things. Now, it does raise a question as to what the apostle's talking about when he says, be prepared at all times to give a defense for the faith that is yours. That's Peter talking there, a man who was, well, I think he was probably a little bit knowledgeable as to what he was asking other Christians to do. And then we have the example of St. Paul, who, at least during the synagogue phase of his traveling ministry, was in the synagogue doing something that people consider just rude nowadays. He was arguing that Jesus was the Christ and had been raised from the dead. Is it unchristian to make a defense of the Christian faith? Is it un-Lutheran for those of us in the Reformation stream to make a defense of the Christian faith? We're going to be talking about Christian apologetics, defending the truth claims of Christianity during the first half hour of Issues Etc. live this Wednesday. It's the 21st of March. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor George Borghardt will be our first guest. We will talk a little bit later with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. Actually see this thing in action, answering the question, did the resurrection of Jesus really occur? Some people just dismiss it out of hand. It didn't, because it's impossible without examining the historical evidence. We'll examine some of that evidence a little bit later in this hour of Issues Etc. In hour two, a sermon review on this Wednesday afternoon. The president doesn't often go to church. That's part of being president, because presidents don't go any place without weeks of planning. And it's always a security issue. But President Obama and I believe the First Lady were in church on Sunday at an Episcopal church in the D.C. area, and they heard a sermon. We're going to hear the sermon that the president heard. We've heard a lot about what President Obama used to hear by way of preaching before he became president. Let's see what he's listening to now, and we'll do a sermon review of a sermon preached at St. John's Episcopal Church in Washington, D.C., and President Obama and the First Lady were there in attendance with their daughter, Sasha, and we'll see what sermon they heard and review it for you. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor George Borghardt is a regular guest. He's senior pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, conference executive for the Lutheran youth organization called Higher Things, and author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Lutheran Apologetics, Augsburg Style. George, welcome back.
Howdy, howdy.
Some people would consider the phrase Lutheran apologetics an oxymoron, a contradiction in terms. How would you respond?
Well, to be a Lutheran is to defend your faith. It's that simple. I mean, the Lutherans have always been defending their faith. They always confess. They confess what they believe. They confess what they believe to the Roman Catholics. They confess what they believe to the Reformed. They confess what they believe to those outside the church. I would dare say to do apologetics is to be evangelically Lutheran, as in gospel Lutheran. We used to be called evangelicals. That word means something totally different now. But before we were Lutherans, we were evangelicals, and we were discussing our faith, confessing our faith to those around us then.
So let's just define the term. I mean, you've already talked about making a defense and confessing the faith. What is the best definition for Christian apologetics?
Well, apology is the Greek word, apologia, to speak in defense of something. And the Lutherans, they have an apology. They have a defense that they confessed at Augsburg. Come with me on a journey, Todd, back to 1530. The Lutherans are wily evangelical Catholics confessing that salvation is by grace alone, that is by Jesus alone, received by faith alone, all this is in Scripture alone. Germany is sort of coming unglued away from the Roman Church. The emperor calls a diet, which isn't like, hey, let's lose some weight. It's a council, because those peaceful Muslims, those peace-loving people, are about to swing into Europe and conquer everything. So he needs unity. So he calls a diet at Augsburg, and the Lutheran princes stand up in front of Emperor Charles V in June of 1530, and they confess their faith. Without apology, they did apologetics. They laid out their concerns about what was going on in the Roman Church. They confessed the true faith. They used the fathers, yes, but they really used the Scriptures alone. Now, when they do this, the emperors. Of course, the Holy Roman Emperor, which means whose side is he on, Todd?
Well, I believe he's probably on his own side politically, but he's going
well played.
At least in terms of the religious establishment.
Right.
I'm sure he's going to stand with the established church.
Yeah, he's going to stand with the establishment. Yeah, he's an establishment candidate. Oh, whatever. Anyway, he's not going to be swayed from what he believes is the easiest way to unify his country. And so he looks at the Roman Catholics after the Lutherans present their arguments. And by the way, they're putting their lives on the line. Apologetics is dangerous. When you confess your faith, you could get in trouble. And these guys can lose their lives. Luther was already a criminal. From what? Defending his faith. I'm going to go crazy here. It's un-Lutheran to sit quietly and not defend your faith. And so here they are confessing at Augsburg what they believe. The emperor turns to the Roman Catholics and say, give a response. The Roman Catholics quickly give a response, and it's read to the Lutherans, and they're told basically, you cannot defend your faith anymore. This discussion is over with. Well, now, they have to defend their faith, don't they, if they're going to be Lutherans? And so they did, and we have in our confessions the apology to the Augsburg Confession, which wasn't an I'm sorry that we said what we said, but it's apologetics. It's a defense of what the Lutherans believe. And the Holy Roman Emperor met with them and said, told the princes, you will not respond to this. I will take your territories. I will make you believe what the Roman Church is teaching. And they still refused to set down defending. I would dare say defending your faith is as Lutheran as thinking that Lent is all grumpy or potluck dinners. It's part of being a Lutheran. You defend what you believe. You confess. You same say with Jesus what you believe. Lutherans in the 1500s did it. We do it now.
So with a couple minutes before we take our first break, why do you think Christian apologetics has gotten a bad name among Lutherans since the time when it is one of our, you know, foundational documents. It is a defense of the faith that was confessed there at Augsburg. Why do you think it's fallen into disuse?
Well, my personal guess is probably that it only takes a few generations to forget what it means that we're Lutherans. That's my guess. I don't have anything other than I've seen this all the time. We forget what we believe, which is the reason why we need to go back and read the Augsburg Confession and read the apology to the Augsburg Confession, the apologia, which is the same root word as apologetics. Read the apology of the Augsburg Confession and read what we believe and how we defend our faith and what we say. The only way to know what you believe as a Lutheran is to read the scriptures and be familiar with what we have confessed, what we have defended in the past.
Do you think it has something also to do with a kind of distorted caution with regard to human reason and the activity of our minds? That is, we're concerned, some Lutherans are concerned, that if you adopt apologetic stance, you will automatically adopt the error that you can argue people into the Christian faith, or that our reason is the essence and our will is the essence of Christian faith. About a minute here before our break.
That's possible. I'm getting to the point in my old age, 39, that I'm very excited about being a Lutheran. And so you can never argue anyone. We don't even believe that you can argue someone into the faith. And so it's not about arguing. It's about confessing what we believe to be the truth. This is what we believe. This is what we don't believe. And you have a solid ground there. It might also be that in the ecumenical movement that sort of arguing is bad for business. Who knows? But what is undeniable is that Lutherans confess their faith. They're very bold in their confession, and they do not back down from what they believe.
Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. He'll be with us for a few minutes on the other side of the break. We're talking about Christian apologetics, defending the truth claims of Christianity. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Lutheran Apologetics Augsburg Style.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrivent Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
The sharpest arrow in your apologetics quiver. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30. And find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest this Wednesday afternoon, March the 21st. We are coming to you live. We're talking about Christian apologetics. George, you say that our catechism, our Lutheran catechism, asks so often and answers that simple question, what does this mean? But that is always followed by, why does this mean what it means? What do you mean?
Well, we confess what we believe. We say what we believe. So what does this mean is followed by, okay, this is what we mean, and this is why we mean what we believe. And we believe that it is the truth coming from Scripture, flowing from the doctrine of justification, that Jesus saved us not by what we do and don't do, but solely by his death on the cross. And that is delivered to us in the means of grace. So all whenever you hear, what does this mean, and we're used to that Lutheran question from the catechism, we all know it. Know that what follows is not only what does this mean, but why does this mean what it means? In the catechism, it's usually followed by, where is this written? Well, what are we doing there other than defending, confessing our faith? We're saying this is why we believe what we believe as Lutherans. It's a reasonable faith based solely upon the Scriptures, centered on the death and resurrection of Christ.
See, that is really, I remember sitting across a table in Strasbourg, France. I was honored to be a guest instructor at Dr. John Warwick Montgomery's International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. And the emphasis, quite honestly, is on the apologetic task there. And it was the night before we were supposed to start teaching and getting grilled over a plate of frog legs, delicious, by the way. By Dr. Montgomery himself, and I think he just wanted to make sure he'd actually done the right thing in asking me to come over there, because we started talking about this, and he started, in his lawyerly fashion, to ask me, well, why is it that you believe that? And he drove me back, as he did so often, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and if this is true, then it is all true, and upon that firm grounding, we can mount a defense of the Christian faith to all comers. Why is it that the resurrection is central to all of this?
Well, the cross and the resurrection, the one who died on Good Friday rose again. If he did rise again, then everything we believe has a grounding and a certainty. If he didn't, then we're all just, well, we're worse than idiots. We're fools. I sit in a church sometimes, look out, and wonder, why am I doing this? The answer is the death and resurrection of Christ. When we are given to forgive our neighbor, why do we do that? Well, because of the death and resurrection of Christ, because Jesus died and rose again. Why do we hold dear the Ten Commandments? Why don't we just live the way we want to live? Dog eat dog world. Well, because the Jesus who died on Good Friday rose again. somebody came into my study after communion. I was being sort of wooed away by a different church who had some sort of program that was attracting them. And they looked at me and they said, Pastor, you seem really excited about being a Lutheran. Well, yes, I am. Well, why? Because the Jesus who died on Good Friday rose again from the dead. It's really that simple. Why do we believe that God created the world in 7 days and not 4-point-some-odd trillion years ago? Because Jesus rose again. The guy who died on Good Friday rose again. Why do we baptize infants? Because the guy who died on Good Friday rose again, sent us to baptize all nations. Why do we believe that Jesus gives us the true body and blood of his true body and blood at the sacrament? Because on the night in which he was betrayed, the day before he died on Good Friday, 3 days before he rose from the dead, He gave us the sacrament that for to eat and drink for the remission of our sins. The whole foundation of all of the scriptures is the death and resurrection of Christ. The reason why I get up in the morning and don't sleep all day long is because Jesus died and rose again for me. It's that simple. Without the death and resurrection of Christ, there's no reason to do anything for anyone in this world at all. But if he did die, and he did rise again from the dead, then everything he said is true. Everything he said is true. So when I'm sitting on a plane and somebody says, you seem too intelligent to believe that God created the universe, I don't prove the scriptures. All I do is say, well, everything that we believe as Lutherans rests solely in the death and resurrection of Christ. So let me talk to you about the resurrection of Christ. Fisk is going to do that in just a half an hour or so. But let me talk to you about the resurrection of Christ, because if I can show you the resurrection of Christ, a historic, grounded fact, then believing that God created the heavens and the earth, piece of cake. Again, though, what am I doing? I'm doing apologetics. I'm defending my faith. I'm not apologizing for my faith. To be a Lutheran is to confess your faith. And while I'm on it, since I work with a lot of youth, we just confirmed 24 new members on Sunday. Somebody didn't send a memo that traditional churches aren't going to grow to Zion because we're busting at the seams. We confirmed these new members, and I look at them and tell them the same thing that I tell the confirmant, that you will suffer all, even death, rather than to deny this faith, which means you're going to defend this faith to those around you. You're going to confess that Jesus died on Good Friday and he rose again from the dead and that he's alive at the right hand of God and that he lives for me and never will die again. And I won't die in him. I'll live forever. The end.
Talk a bit about those young people, because they live in a society where no truth, we all do, but they have really been immersed in it. And know nothing else outside that point of reference, where no truth, small t, is worth defending. I mean, compromise is really just the way that they're taught to proceed. And yet these Christian young people know that there must be something truer than just the small t truth. There must be something not just larger than themselves, but larger than everything on which they can depend. Talk about them.
The first, we've got postmodernism in the New Testament. Pilate, we had the reading today in our midweek services. What's truth? Jesus says, I came to testify to the truth. Whoever hears the truth, you know, believes me. Well, Pilate goes, well, that's truth anyway. That sort of talk is just absurd. It doesn't work in the world. It doesn't work in real life. If you go to the doctor and you have a pain in your side, and the doctor examines you and goes, you have X, and he reaches into, like, a candy jar and just gives you a handful of pills, all different shapes and sizes, all right? And he looks at you and he goes, it doesn't matter which one you have. Just take whichever one you want. Are you kidding me? Are you joking? I need a new doctor. There is truth in this universe. There's the right pill for the right sickness. There is undeniable truth. All right, there is. It doesn't work. You the officer pulls you over. You're speeding. You look at him and go, I didn't feel like I was speeding. I felt like I was going 45. He shows you the radar gun that you're going 80. I don't feel like it. You have your truth about how fast I was going. I have mine. The Christian faith is based upon the truth that the same guy who suffered under Pontius Pilate, died on Good Friday, was buried in the tomb, and then he rose again on Easter morning. That's our truth. That's not just our truth. We believe that that's the truth of the universe. We believe that if he actually rose from the dead, then everything he said is true. That is the truth. And the medicine for our illness, our sickness, our death, is nothing short of Jesus, who died on Good Friday and rose again on Easter morning. Our faith is reasonable if we defend it, when we defend it and say everything, you may think we're nuts as Lutherans believing what we believe, but in actuality, what we believe is that Jesus, Good Friday, Easter, lives now. I live in him. If he didn't die, well, then you're right about your assessment of my faith. But if he didn't rise again, you're right. But if he did rise again, holy Jesus, everything is true that he said, which means even I am saved with all my sins. And by the way, you are too in Christ. Evangelical, that's gospel. That's what the Lutherans used to be called. Means they were defending their faith. They were confessing their faith.
George, we got about a minute here. You are the conference executive for this Lutheran youth organization called Higher Things. Tell us about this summer's conferences.
Oh, we're 12th year of Higher Things. We are celebrating the church in the last days with a conference called 12. And there are four 12 conferences this summer, and there's still room to register for all of them. If you want to bring your family, you can bring your family. Parents are welcome to. We don't separate parents from kids. Check it out, higherthings.org. We're a youth organization which dares young people to be Lutheran and, well, to have a little fun as they do it.
Folks, you can find out more about this summer's Higher Things conferences at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor George Borghardt is senior pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, conference executive for Higher Things, and author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Lutheran Apologetics Augsburg Style. George, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
When we come back, we'll do a little apologetics with Pastor Jonathan Fisk.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Is Christianity merely one limited half-true perspective on God? Find out in an article I've written for the latest Issues Etc. journal. It's titled, The Blind Men and the Elephant, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Christian Teve's journey from the agnosticism of a committed Darwinist to faith in Jesus Christ. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Today's a very special and important day. It's World Down Syndrome Day. Down syndrome occurs when during fertilization we receive three copies of chromosome number 21. Thus, we celebrate this day on the 21st day of the third month. I say celebrate because people with Down syndrome are a blessing to those around them. Today, countries around the world are observing this special day, even the United Nations. Tragically, up to 90% of parents choose abortion when they find out they're expecting a baby with Down syndrome. This day will help them realize they and their baby will be supported and accepted. So let everyone you know what today is and get more information about Down syndrome at today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Whether you are just starting or have played your entire life, Oak Brook Golf Club in Edwardsville is your home for golf. Our 27-hole layout, fair prices, and award-winning staff, and ever-improving course conditions make your decision easy. We have always been family-owned at Oak Brook, and golf is our business. Our PGA staff offers leagues, instruction, camps, a senior scramble, and our family special where kids play free. Oak Brook Golf Club, 618-656-5600 or oakbrookgc.com.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.